Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Our government.
Healthcare.
Your government.
The economy.
Bailout.
Global financial recession.
Transportation.
Agenda. Agenda.
The work that needs to be done. What's going on?
It is Monday, and that means it's time for our agenda segment, a look at the week ahead. We're here with Marcus Mabry, always our friend, and also the international business editor for a partner, the New York Times. Hi, Marcus.
Good morning.
And also we've got Jill McGivering from London. She's the BBC correspondent specializing in Asia. Hello.
Good morning.
So let's start with healthcare. President Obama's plan faces a crucial moment. The House Democratic leaders are moving towards a face-off with party moderates, and a Senate committee is working on a bipartisan alternative. Marcus, tell us about this Senate committee and what exactly is going on.
Well, you know, the Senate Finance Committee is working on a bipartisan proposal for healthcare reform. It is the only bipartisan plan out there, or they hope it will be out there. What's interesting about this plan is, given how we have seen in on the House side, the two House committees, two of the three that have to deal with this have already dealt with the reform bill. And what we saw in those committees were, we actually saw Democrats crossing party lines to side with Republicans. Now, it'll be interesting. In the Senate, we saw, in the Senate committee dealt with it so far, we saw a straight party line vote. What's interesting about this bipartisan effort in the Senate Finance Committee is, if they can come up with a bill is going to get actually Republican support, you'll have some sense of what a bipartisan compromise might look like. The president has been extraordinary and is kind of like, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. The Republicans come with us or without us.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about how the president is handling the fight. Here's a bit of his weekly address.
The same folks who controlled the White House and Congress for the past 8 years as we ran up record deficits will argue, believe it or not, that health reform will lead to record deficits. That's simply not true.
All right. The Clinton administration is a cautionary, legendary cautionary tale in how health care may hurt a presidency in terms of an agenda. What do you hear when you listen to Obama, and is he in any peril of sort of facing the health care curse?
What's been extraordinary is the sense, you know, he is famous for being very laid back, very zen about these things. We have not seen him so kind of bold in any other agenda item. If you compare the healthcare reform debate over, say, the reform of the financial industry in the wake of the crisis debate, he has been much more confident, much more assertive, almost staking his presence in the fact that we'll actually have proposals on both floors of both houses by the end of summer. That's extraordinary.
Marcus, I want to go to Jill. Jill, you are the BBC Asia editor, and Hillary Clinton is going to be in the Indian capital, Delhi, for talks on Monday as part of a week-long Asia trip. She's there to bolster political and economic ties. Here's a little bit about what she had to say.
United States does not and will not do anything that would limit India's economic progress.
Decode that a little bit for us. What is she talking about, and what kinds of relationship building is she trying to do?
I think it's been interesting that most of what the rhetoric we've heard from her has been very positive, and a lot of the briefing from the State Department has been, you know, look, we have a great relationship with India, we want to strengthen it, we want to improve it, we want to deepen it. And some of the rhetoric she's been getting in return from the Indian officials hasn't sound quite so matey. It's as though she's really on a charm offensive but is finding some difficult issues. And I think one of those issues was what she was referring to there, which is this whole business about climate change. We know that the Obama administration is trying to do what it can now to look at U.S. involvement in the next big international treaty on limiting carbon emissions and so on. And we understand part of Mrs. Clinton's message in India has been, you know, you guys are known to have very large amounts of carbon emission, you're growing very quickly, and can we persuade you also to accept some sort of caps on carbon emissions to get you to sign up to something in the future? But so far, India's been saying, no, thank you. You know, we have seen all you guys develop. We are now just starting to develop, and we don't want anything that's going to limit or affect our economic growth. And their argument is, look, per capita, we've got over a billion people. So if you look at it per capita and not just as an overall amount, we're not doing so badly.
And Jill, Hillary Clinton actually faced a pretty explicit statement
from, I think, the Indian Minister of the Environment, is that correct, who came out and said in no uncertain terms the answer is no, and said it verbally, which is sort of rare in diplomatic circles.
Well, that's right. I think it gives you a sense of how strongly a lot of people in India feel about this. I mean, I lived in India for a few years for the BBC, and there was very often this really angry sense of, how dare you guys try and tell us what to do, especially on issues when you're being hypocritical and you're not doing it yourselves. So I think there's quite a strong sense there of, you know, by all means, you go and set your house in order and get your thing sorted out and live up to your obligations, but leave us alone. We are just starting to develop. We have a lot of problems. We have a lot of economic problems now. We're trying to deal with poverty, but also trying to expand our export markets, and we don't need anything that might hinder us in doing that. So it's a really tough issue, I think, she's trying to deal with there.
Jill, I'm going to go back to Marcus Mabry of the New York Times. There were huge profits by big banks last week, but what about smaller banks? You know, there's this report that is expected, earnings reports from smaller regional banks. What do you see ahead?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see over this week and next week, we're going to have thousands of smaller banks, regional banks, reporting their second quarter's earning results. And what we're going to see, contrasting to what the big guys did on Wall Street and how well the big guys did on Wall Street. We're talking about Goldman Sachs, of course, J.P. Morgan. We'll have Morgan Stanley this week as well, as these regional banks. Their results will not be nearly as solicitous. They will actually give us some indication of as much as some estimate $30 billion in commercial loans that are going bad, the highest number in nearly 20 years. The banking crisis is not over, and we're going to see it in these earnings reports this week and next.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Marcus Mabry, international business editor for The New York Times, and Jill McGivering, BBC correspondent from London, who specializes in Asia.